Our ways are not his ways. And like I say, I shared it earlier. I just had some things in my mind that I needed to get done, I needed to do for God, and they never came to pass. I never got to do them. I still don't know if it was the devil or God trying to teach me something else. I know several cases it was definitely God doing it and changing my plans. What I had already figured out in my mind was the right thing to do. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I mean, that God's going to bring that up today. So, Lord, we just again thank you and praise you, God. Lord, that song, I need you, Lord, we need you. We really do need you, God. And Lord, David cried out to you when he was running from Saul. And he needed you. He needed you every day, almost every day, Lord. It's divine protection. Oh, God. You know, am I going to... And it came to the place, Lord, where he even doubted whether he was going to live, let alone be king. Yeah, so he went over to the enemy's camp. So, God, but even when he became king, after he was established as king and everything seemed to be fitting together now, the prophecy's been fulfilled, I am king, everybody acknowledged me as king. But he needed you more, not less, because with that came the responsibility of being a king and being an example of God's kingdom. And he failed. It wasn't because you were not able to keep him. It probably was because he came to the place where he didn't think he really needed you. He wasn't in battle, he wasn't running for his life, but the enemy had a trap. And so, Father, we pray that you'd open our eyes this morning. Again, has been prayed. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. We can count on you. Oh, you're more faithful than we are. And so we can count on you. When we ask you something, you're not going to forget it. And though it tarry, we just need to wait for it. It will come to pass. You'll bring it to pass. So, Lord, we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Yeah, when I lost my keys, I kept thinking, well, I kept bringing myself down. Wait a minute, just cool it. You know, you'll find it. God will reveal it to you. Next thing you know, I'm looking over here and I'm thinking, well, maybe I said it here, you know, just constantly on my mind. And praise God, he found him. Through David, he found him. All right. Are you working for God? Are you working with God? You know, am I working for God or am I working with God? And we want to work with God, not for God. The scribes and the Pharisees thought they were working for God. And Jesus said, you know, there's going to come a time when he that kills you will think that he's doing God a service. And so they're definitely working, in their mind, they're working for God or they wouldn't do this stuff. But they're not working for God. They're working, but they're not working for God in that sense. But we want to work with God, and God wants to work with us. And so that's why we need him. We really need him more and more, not less and less. The more the scriptures I get to know, to see, the more the Holy Spirit teaches me, the more I see I need to know, because there's so many different things. Remember, God's always looking at the heart. We as human beings look at the flesh. We look at what we can see or what we hear or what we think in our minds. We put two and two together and come up with five. But Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees, you know, judge righteous judgment. And righteous judgment is God's judgment. It isn't my judgment, it's his judgment. He does judge. Nobody's going to say, well, you shouldn't judge. He judges. And he brings justice. Amen? He's the Lone Ranger. He's the guy with the white hat. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Praise God. And that's why we have this inside of ourselves, too. The good would ultimately prevail. And it will. Amen. God's good are going to prevail. His word is going to come to pass. You can count on it. It's going to come to pass. Even though it doesn't seem like it, it's going to come to pass. But that's part of believing God, is it doesn't look that way. Okay. So, I want to put this question out to us too. Are we fulfilling the works of the law, which is in reality the works of the flesh, or are we fulfilling the law, the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus? And that was part of my battle this week, and probably the week before that, probably before I knew I was in a battle, because I want to fulfill all the law. I want to fulfill what I know to do. But see, that's what Paul said concerning the law. He was blameless. He didn't need a savior. The other people, they need help. And he was there to help them. And he was doing God a service by putting Christians in jail. You know, he was doing God a service. He really believed that. Amen? And he was zealous. He was fervent. He just didn't talk. He did things. He was a man of action. But he was acting for the wrong side. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's why we got to have this relationship with God and growing closer and closer to Him. Because my ideas, which are from the Bible, but we have to understand that there's a lot of things written in the Bible. And most everybody takes what they want to believe and they shut out other things. I remember being in a meeting one time, and they said, and a lot of places do this, and we probably do the same thing. You know, we only do what's in the Bible. You know, we do what's in the Bible. And then somebody got up and spoke, and I thought, that's not in the Bible. It's not according to this verse. It's not in the New Testament I'm talking about. So it's like, Now, I mean, if you go back to the Old Testament, there's a lot of easy things to see, like it's against the law of God to have child sacrifice, right? And what did God tell Abraham? Sacrifice your son. So, and then Jesus, you know, came and he did these works on the Sabbath day. Of course, they you know, had their opinion what that working on the Sabbath wasn't necessarily God's opinion. And besides that, Jesus came to fulfill the law so that we no longer have to fulfill the law about the Sabbath day. But actually, there is a Sabbath for us, but it's every day. And the Sabbath is to be at rest in God. That's the Sabbath. It isn't Sunday or Saturday or Friday. It's every day. There is a rest for the people of God. But in Hebrews chapter 4, we must labor to enter into that rest. And that rest is where I am resting in God. I am ceasing from my own works. I'm ceasing from trying to be righteous, to just simply believing that it's imputed to me, that it's imputed to you. Amen? It was mentioned this past week, I heard this verse, somebody say this verse. They said part of it, and I'm not knocking the person, so don't think that I'm knocking you. That's not, but it just jumped out at me. You know, no weapon that is formed against me will prosper. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. But every tongue that shall rise up in judgment, thou shall condemn. I shall condemn. You shall condemn. Because this is the inheritance. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen. So one of the works of the devil, or the things that he comes against us is that we're not righteous. You know, we're not doing righteous. We're not righteous. No weapon that is formed against thee will prosper. What's the weapon? Guilt There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Well, that means I can do whatever I want to do and I don't have to worry about sinning. No, because it's plainly told us in another scripture that if we sin, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But when we confess our sin, then he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But when the Spirit comes, he will what? What will you do with the world? When the Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin. He will convict the world of sin. Someone I walked in one morning and God began to talk to me about this condemning and convicting. Satan comes to condemn. Satan comes to put you down. Satan wants you to say, oh, you messed up again. You're just no good. You just did all this stuff. We're not minimizing the sin. The sin is sin. Amen? It is sin. And the wages of sin is death. But that's why we need to confess it. Because it is a heavy thing. But God, that's why Jesus Christ died. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. Amen? So, we have to know that when we mess up, we can confess it. That's all that's needed to be done. And then believe what God says, that he'll not only forgive me of it, but he'll cleanse me from it. Amen? It might not be tomorrow. It might not be the next day. But you can bet your buttons on it. He's going to work on it. He's going to work on it. We don't know everything, see? And we don't know what's tied to this and what's tied to that and what's tied to this. And we think, well, just deliver me from it and I'll be okay. Just get us out of Egypt. I don't care what you do. Just get us out of Egypt. And it took 400 years. Get us out of Egypt. And still, when they got out of Egypt, they didn't take Egypt out of them. Just Joshua and Caleb and Moses. Maybe Aaron. But God is getting us cleaned up. He wants to get us in the right track. When you get on the right track, it's going to work because God's word works. He never changed. Amen? He never changed. Well, then if the same things aren't being done, then something's wrong. And it's not God. It's us. Well, it's the people. The people ain't any worse than they've always been. They're just as bad as they were then, right? The demons are demons. They're still demons. And they're just as bad as they were then. It might be coming out in the open more and more, but it's still the same devil. Still the same God. Praise God. Amen? Whose mercies are new every morning. And so when the Spirit comes, he will convict us of sin. But when Satan comes, he'll condemn us with the sin. Therefore, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through my flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned. Now, God condemned something, the sin. And his word is quick, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And it'll go in there and condemn the sin to death. Amen? He sent his word to heal them. So sickness is going to kill your body. And so the word of God comes to heal it. Sin is going to kill you spiritually. It's going to separate me from God. Amen? That's where the problem is. It isn't that God can't reach me. It isn't that I can't reach God. But the sin's there. The stings are inside of me. But as I read him, as I get closer and closer to him, these things begin to fall away. And like the woman said to us yesterday, she said, I'm a lot different than I used to be. Isn't that right, my husband? He asked her husband. And she said, I'm a lot different, right, than I was before. That's the word of God. Amen? Isn't the glory to the woman, is it? Is it? It isn't glory to you that you're better now than you were before. Amen? 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 The glory goes to God. And so there's something in our flesh that wants to grab that. And if God don't deal with that, then without trying, without even, it just comes naturally. we begin to look down on others and we don't see ourselves as we really are, as we really were. And then we have this, without realizing it, we portray a different kind of a spirit. Okay. Jesus humbled himself. He, you know, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but yet he made himself of no reputation. My flesh, your flesh, wants to be recognized. That's why the flesh has to die. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Are we fulfilling the works of the law? Are we fulfilling the works, which are the works of the flesh? Or are we working with God? Working with God. If I'm working with God, I'm with the Spirit. I'm in the Spirit. I'm walking in the Spirit. In 2 Thessalonians 2:11, it says, you know, that he's going to establish, God promises to establish you in every good word and work. To establish me in every good word and work. Again, using this last 2 weeks, I'm just as an example. But my idea of good works was to do this thing, and I couldn't get to it. I couldn't get to it. I'd call people and they didn't answer. And it's funny, about 4 or 5 days later, they answered. And the guy, and they said, we just want to let you know. They just wanted to let me know something. You know, we saw that you called. And I was going to say, well, I called 4 days ago. But it's like they just got the message. And it's like, I was going to go see them. And anyway, but God wanted me to do something else. So I've got to present my body a living sacrifice unto God. It's my reasonable service, my spiritual worship. And that's going to take God's help. Amen? Especially when you got ideas of what is right and what is wrong. You know, in Masaka, this has always amazed me more now than it did before, because I just started seeing this. She's just a new convert, doesn't know anything. She's going to a church that doesn't preach about being filled with the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit or anything like that. And God talks to her and says, get up and go get a visa today. Now, if you weren't taught anything about that, I think I'd be a little bit like, who are you? And he's talking to me. You know, she doesn't know anything. She says, and God tells her what to wear. Wear a kimono. And she says, well, it's raining outside. My kimono will get wet. We don't wear kimonos when it's... Peter, we don't eat that kind of stuff, God. She talks right back to him. So why am I having so much trouble hearing God? How comes when I want to hear, like, where's my keys, Lord? I know you know where they're at. Where are they? Tell me. I'm waiting. In fact, I wanted to use a truck, and finally I waited. Now I'm looking over everything. Can't find it. Finally, I just took the car. Anyway, for a couple of days, maybe 3 days, which seemed like a long time, I couldn't find the keys, and all the time it's on. But there are times when I can't hear from God, and there's other times when God will start just talking. He'll just talk, and you know what I'm talking about. He'll just talk to you. And you say, well, why are you talking to me now? I'm not reading the Bible. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, things that aren't spiritual. Because God doesn't separate your day, man. He doesn't walk away because you walk away from the Bible. He's going with you. The Spirit of God is inside of you. The Spirit of God is inside of me. And that Spirit's put there for a reason, for a purpose. And when I don't lean on Him, when I don't call on Him, when I don't count on Him, I am neglecting Him. I am pushing Him on the corner, and I know better. I don't need that. But what God's trying to get us to the point where we will listen, where we'll tune in to that spirit. David showed me this. I might get to the sermon. David showed me this thing on the internet, and it was about a guy way back. He was in a meeting, and it was called The Healing at 26 Miracles. 26, right? Yeah. Anyway, this guy, and I'm going to cut out all this stuff because it's all good, but the guy's up there preaching, and the other minister that's telling his story, he's going through how the fact that he, you know, he's thinking, oh, this woman came all this way, and she gave all that she had, and how, I don't know how she's going to get home, and Lord, I don't have the faith this woman has, and how in the world, you know, and he's started out, he's going the wrong direction. He thinks he's going the wrong way. The pastor, the guy that's preaching, evangelist, all of a sudden, the guy says, in the middle of his preaching, I see a building. I see a big white building. And he goes through all this description of stuff. And this guy says, oh, here he goes again. You know, this is how God dealt with this guy. It wasn't the evangelist, because the evangelist didn't know about what the woman had or needed. Amen? But yet the evangelist, in the middle of his preaching, God could get through to him. Now, did you ever have something planned out? You know, like you're going to do this and that. I mean, you have it all planned out, and you get started, and then somebody comes and, you know, interrupts and wants to talk to you, or you got a phone call here, and it's like, oh, I can't do that now. when you were, especially... Probably this evangelist was really, you know, used to just, you know, giving it out, like, oh, you know, right? And then God starts showing him this stuff. Well, he's obedient. He starts, I see a big white building. All right, what's a white building? And he goes into what the, you know, white building, and then he sees these, and it's like, oh, yeah. And there's this baby born, and this baby has 16, 20, 21, 22. 26 things wrong with it. Right on the nose. The guy don't know anything. It isn't the guy. It's the Spirit of God that's inside of the guy. Right? Right? Come on. So he's getting this information. When the Spirit comes, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. And so he's the one that's up there on the pulpit, you know, preaching at that time. And so God used him. And so he's preaching, and all of a sudden he shows him this thing, and he says, bring that baby down. And so the woman comes down, brings the baby, and he takes the baby and starts walking. And he's praying, you know, he's praying. And so this other guy, another preacher, he says, I walk alongside of him. And he says, he tells everybody, stand up, raise your hands to God, and close your eyes. He says, I'm not closing my eyes. I want to see this. He says, and don't you judge me, because you're like I am. You'd want to see it. And he saw it. Not only did God do that, but they said there was a, you know, all the people in wheelchairs were over on this side. Nobody prayed for them. They got up. And the people over here were on stretchers, and they got up. Everybody in the place was healed. And he said this, it wasn't faith, in a sense. Nobody knew exactly what God was going to do, when he was going to do it. But that woman, see, I believe the woman, everybody's doing something. Everybody's doing something, but God is the one who does the, you know, he's the one that comes down like the cloud. Then they put all the things together in the tabernacle. You know, and you go, you read that, and you think, what'd they put all this stuff in the Bible for? This goes with this, and this runs along here, and this pipe gets here, and these curtains here, and this, and then when it all fits together, whew, the presence of God comes down. And the priest couldn't stand the minister because a glory cloud came down. Well, the glory came down. They didn't see a cloud at this one, but God revealed himself in a mighty way. Amen? Now, know, we thirst for things like that. But what God needs, he needs each one of us to be tuned into God, where we hear what God wants us to do, what God wants us to say. So one joint isn't supplying, or just two joints or five joints, but every joint supplies, amen, according to the power of God that's working in them, that we might come to the fullness of the stature of who? Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. Till we come to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ then is revealed to the world once again through us. Amen? But to do that, I've got to be like Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I've got to see my Father work. I've got to hear what my Father's saying today. Today, if I will hear his voice, and harden not my heart. So these past few weeks, I'm trying, you know, especially yesterday. You know, I think, you know, how about if we go over and see him? Misaka said, how about if we go over and see him? I thought I had this, I'm going to fulfill this today. I'm going to do it today. Nothing's in my road. And poof, she puts that in my road. And I'm thinking, oh, God. And I'm thinking, well, maybe if I come back early. I'm trying to figure this out. And I'm convinced now that it wasn't God's will for me to go then. God had other things for me to do every other day. But I'm thinking, I got to do this. It's my duty. Are you working for God? Or are you working with God? Where's God? Where's God? I was sitting here eating his hamburger and he left. Where'd he go? Cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in. What does it do? It chokes the word. And the word that God gives us is sent to us because he said he'd write his laws on my heart and he put them in our minds. And as a man thinketh in his heart, that's who he is. Amen? So no matter what I want, up here. No matter what I desire up here, what I do is what's in my heart. And no matter what I want to say to people when I'm not in front of the people, I won't say it when I get in front of the people, because in my heart is maybe the fear of man, or this fear, or, you know, there's something there that's stopping me. In Matthew 15:8, it says, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Wow. Now, you know, as we exhorted today to worship God, that's one of the things that we ran into in the charismatic movement, was a lot of times people would come in and in the church and they didn't feel like worshiping, you know, they didn't feel like they were walking on a cloud, and, you know, they weren't, and they felt like it was lying, it was sacrilegious, or it was, you know, I'm not worthy to praise him, I'm not worthy to praise him. Well, in yourself, you're not worthy, but he's made you worthy, amen? And like Nicole was saying, you know, it's what he did. It's not what you've done. It's what he did. He deserves the glory. He deserves the praise. You and I are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We're a peculiar people, that we might show forth the praises of him who has called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. But you got to believe that you were called out of the darkness. I'm going to read this. Not too long ago, God began to share with some things with me, and I thought, oh my goodness, I didn't believe I was that bad. And that's bad, because you're not believing what God said you were. Amen? Because I was raised in a certain family, and I didn't have certain things available to me, and so, and I was always the good one. All right. Behold, O my people, I will open your graves. When God wants to show you what human nature is like separated from himself, he'll show you yourself. The nerve of that guy. If the Spirit of God has ever given you a vision of what you are apart from the grace of God, and he will only do this when his Spirit is at work in you, because probably what he means here is you couldn't take it if he did it without his Spirit to be there to pick you up. He will only do this when the Spirit is at work in you. Then you know that in reality, the truth is, in reality, there is no criminal half as bad as yourself could be without his grace. In other words, but for the grace of God, there go I. Amen? It was the grace of God. See, by grace you were saved through you believing in it. Amen? And all that was a gift from God, because even repentance isn't something we drum up. It's something that God gives to us. Amen? He's the one that opens our eyes to see it. And so what the people need is their eyes open. If they don't receive it, it's, Paul said, because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. So, in reality, there is no criminal half as bad as yourself could be without his grace. My grave has been opened by God, and I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. God's Spirit continually reveals to us his children. It reveals to his children what human nature is like apart from his grace. All he has to do is depart. One place it says he left them for a season that he might, you know, they might see that they couldn't stand. We are being kept by the power of God through faith, through believing in that. Amen? And this is the work of God. This, just concentrate on this for a week or so. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Just believe on him. Don't believe on yourself. Believe on him. This is what God said. And Jesus said, it's necessary that I go away, because if I go that way, the Spirit won't come. When the Spirit comes, it will, you know, he'll lead and guide you into all truth. Now, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which was not yet given. And this is in John chapter 7, 37 and 38. He that is thirsty, come and drink. And out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This is what God wants to do. He wants to bring it out of here. He wants it to come up out of my heart, out of my innermost being. And as I open my mouth wide, he fills it. Not from here, from here. And holy men, this is 2 Peter 1:21. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21. Oh yeah, that's the prophets back there, you know, when they were writing the Bible, you know, that's the secondary thing. The first thing was he gave them those words to give to the kings or princes, whoever it was that God sent them to go to, right? And somebody wrote it down. They didn't go with their opinion. They went because they were sent. And this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Or you could put this in there, that you believe on the word that he has sent to you. Again, today. Today, I've got to hear his voice. Today. There's needs out there. There's people that need this. There's people that need that. There's so many needs out there. And God wants to empower us by his Spirit, by his grace, to abound unto every good work. Like in my mind, what am I doing, God? Compared to this one, what am I doing, God? Where are you? He's probably up there saying, where are you at? You're supposed to be following me. right? Just like little kids, they rent. They were to run ahead. Remember when we first went over to Okinawa, first time, and David was just a little guy. This will help you, David, with your kids. And Misaka's brother would say, hold his hand, because there's a lot of traffic, a lot of cars. He's not used to that here in Bedford County. And so, you know, he says, hold his hand. But David didn't want to. He just wanted to run ahead. You know, he just wanted to run ahead. But God wants us to hold his hand. I need you, God. I need you. Amen? Amen? And whenever you're going to need him the most is like with Elijah. When, you know, the 400 prophets of Baal were killed and, you know, fire came down from heaven and everything. Wow, he's got this great victory. Next thing you know, he's running. And God says, what are you doing here? Oh, I've done enough. I've done enough. I've given. I can't do anymore. His greatest victory, and he messes up the greatest. So we always need God, amen? We always need to know that we need him, because without him, we're going to fall. We can't lean on our own understanding. It's got to come from the Spirit, and the Spirit wants to tell us what to say, what to do. The Spirit is actually in us to guide us into all truth, amen? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Yeah, but it's a lot easier to try to figure it out. No, it's easier the flesh, but God's trying to train us. See, but once we get into that, once he gets that in our heart, see, as we receive with meekness the engrafted word, it saves our soul. It changes the way we think in our heart. And so then it comes out of us. Paul said, we believe, therefore we speak. Even as David said, I believe and therefore I speak. Amen? Not I believe and I speak. He that believes in his heart, right, and confesses with his mouth, he's saved, amen? Not with his head. Just like all week, looking for the keys. I can envision them. I set them down over there. Went over there, and they're not there. I seen a vision. I had a vision there, but it wasn't there. They were false visions, amen? So we can cite, you know, hey, it says the devil can come as an angel of light. How am I going to discern between the devil and God? Well, you can't without God. Amen? Amen? But you can with God. Amen? So I just got to learn. And the thing is, we've got to know the children of Israel, when they went in and possessed the land, remember it said he didn't give them the whole land all at once because they couldn't control it all. And if he had given them the whole land, that it would have been overrun. You know, they couldn't keep it weeded. They couldn't keep it, the animals out, the wild animals, because they couldn't inhabit the whole thing at one time. But they overcame it one king and then one king and one king. And so it's a way, it's going to be in our hearts. It's overcoming things in us. And as we get more and more, we're going to possess our possessions. Amen? In other words, when they possessed it, they live there. And when the Spirit comes, he's going to live in you. Live in you. So how many rooms has he got in me? I don't know. But there's some more rooms that need to be cleaned. Amen? And so in you. Well, my only hope is, as I receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so I continue to walk in him. Well, how did you receive him? You heard and you received the word with meekness. You believed it in your heart and you confessed it with your mouth and you were saved. Ta-da! I'm a new creature. So begins the race. Begins the race. All the way through, right? All the way through to the finish line. And Paul says in Corinthians about, you know, we're all going to be judged with how we build on the foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. But how, what we build on, hay, wood, stubble, or jewels and precious things. But we're all going to be, you know, it's all going to be tested with fire. And if it's been fleshly things, like if we worked for God, doing what we thought God would want us to do, the good things, you're going to be burned up. Because Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The flesh profiteth nothing. So I can give all that I have to the poor and get my body to be burned. I can do all these good things and it could mean nothing. Because really I'm not being led. I'm not being led. And I've got to become his little child. I've got to let him lead me. Matthew 15:18. Well, let's start 17. Do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands, that defileth not a man. Yeah, I got to get those things out of my heart. How about some exceeding great and precious promise like Ezekiel 36? I'll take out your stony heart and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Wow. From all your iniquities, I'll cleanse you. You know, I've been thinking about that. But David, you know, in Psalms 51, he said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Hey, dude, you just committed adultery with your neighbor's wife. Then you tried to get you got the guy drunk, tried to cover it up, and then he couldn't cover it up, so you had the guy killed. And you want God to just purge you with hyssop, and you're going to be clean. Wash me, and you're going to be whiter than snow? Get out of here. You can't expect God to just wipe that away. Yeah. If I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me. And so David later on prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen? You know, I was thinking too, and if I went to these scriptures, it would take time. So we can't, but you know in James where it says, you adulterers and adulteresses, you envy, you strive to obtain, yet you have not because you ask not. You know, we know those verses, right? And the friendship with the world is enmity with God. And it said, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Well, keep your finger if you're 15. We'll probably come back there. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, verse 1. But as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you have not been able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions. Just sounds like James. Are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I'm Paul, another saith, Apollos. Who are Paul and Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but it's God that gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. I'm going to add this, but it's what it says. Anything. Amen? Amen? So in that case, it wasn't the evangelist, just the evangelist. It wasn't just the woman. It wasn't just the crowd. It was God. Amen? God working with them, confirming the word. Hallelujah. He that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Remember, our labor is to what? Believe on him whom he has sent, right? That's the work of God. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. you're God's building. See, we're to be laborers together with God. We're not to go out on our own. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master building. See, a builder, according to the grace. Grace is unmerited. Amen. In one sense, it's unmerited favor, but it also is unmerited ability. It's not just favor, but it's ability to do something that God wants you to do. The divine influence upon the heart reflected in the life. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builds thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So there's no excuse for not doing, I just don't have the ability to do what God has called me and chosen me to do. Yeah, that's true. None of us have that ability, right? Because he's called and chosen us to do things that are exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or think. But it's all according to the power or the Spirit that's working in you. His grace. Just the way he saved you, that's the way he's dealing with me and you in working out his works that he has preordained for us to walk in. Amen? Okay, so back to Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Impossible, number one, to have any other commandments that we could try to work on. But God has already made a way for this. Because in Deuteronomy 30, chapter 6, it says, He'll circumcise thy heart to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, thy mind, thy strength. God's able to do it. And we turn to Romans chapter 5. Go there with me. This is just an example of one thing that God has already supplied and wants to supply. And wants us to know that he's going to give us everything that we need unto life and godliness through the knowledge of God, through knowing him, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Okay, Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace. Peace with God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. I just got to believe in him. I just got to labor to believe. That's my work, to believe on Jesus Christ, to believe what he says to me today or what he said to me yesterday. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have access by faith into the grace, and that's what we stand on, the grace of God. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience. Now this is the truth, see, that sets us free. And so we glory in this, and hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, or us. Amen? For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth or introduced his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, sinning, didn't want to do the will of God, even if we were in church, Christ died for us. Amen? So much more than being now justified. How? By his blood. That's why we can plead the blood. Can't touch me. I am under the blood. I am made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Not because I give my tithe, not because I go to this church, not because I do this, I've done that, I did this. No, because of the blood. Amen? So no weapon that is formed against thee will prosper, and every tongue that rises up in judgment thou shalt condemn, because this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of God. And you can say it to him, I'm standing on his righteousness, devil. Get out of here. Amen? Even if he points something out that you did wrong, because the devil will condemn you, the Spirit will convict you. If the Spirit convicts you, all God's trying to do is to get you to confess it, like David. I repent. Yes, forgive me. After he tried to cover it up for 9 months, is God long-suffering or what? Amen? Well, that's because David was a man after God's own heart. Sure doesn't look like it. Doesn't look like it. And he probably didn't feel like it. Amen? It must have been grace. Amen? That's what we have, grace. Amen? And so he says, I require this, that you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, thy strength. And our flesh says, I no way I can do this. I can try the best that I can. I'm not as good as that guy. I'm better than him, but not as good as her. And he's all the time, he's saying, ask me. Believe in me. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Don't try to work out your own salvation. Don't try to bring up your own righteousness. You work out your salvation by believing in his promises, amen? These exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we are partaking of his divine nature, and we're escaping the corruption that is in this world through lust, amen? And so the sin can't reach us. He's able to keep us from falling because he's taken out the lust, because we've responded to his promises. We believe what he said to us, amen? Remember, he wants to talk to you every day. Amen? Every day. Today, if you will hear his voice. Don't harden heart. Rest in him. Rest in him. Yesterday, we got that phone call. We were visiting those people in Seven Springs, and we got this phone call, and We're talking. I'm thinking, we have plenty of time. I look at my watch, and I'm thinking, well, it's going to take us this much time to get home, and she has to be at the jail by a certain such a time. We got to leave now. And we left. And we were thinking about leaving, but anyway. And then it's like, when we were going, it was like the GPS, I kept knocking minutes off. You know, it was like, oh, we're gaining. I always try to do that, you know. Do you ever try to do that, Bill? So we're going to get there by 12 o'clock. He's like, I'm gaining on it. You got to stop to go to the bathroom? Come on. Can't you wait? I think we better stop now. I'm hungry. That's a man and a woman. Okay, so anyway, I'm pushing it all the way home. And God's all the way. Just relax. No, don't be anxious for anything. But God, instead of gain, you know, like I was when we were going there, when we didn't have to be, I have to be back by a certain time so she can be there, and everything's, and then we get behind this guy that isn't, he's a sightseeing or something, and I can't pass him legally, and then some wait, and you know, wait, oh, turn, God, make him turn. You want to go to Central City. You want to go to Central, and he went right by. Oh. And then God sent a passing zone, and no cars coming. And I floored it. So we made all the way home, dashed home, and I got home. And actually, where the only place I lost minutes or gained minutes was actually when I was really close to home. And that's when it, and then she gets down, she comes back and says, I couldn't get in. I was like, what? And God said, see, you were all anxious about nothing. So, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Enter into the rest. If I would just listen, if I would just humble myself and listen. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer and leave it there. Right? And leave it there. And he's working on me, folks. He's teaching me. I like it. I know whom the Lord loves, he chastens, so he must still like me, love me. And so he's trying to get me, he's giving me opportunities to use what he's given me. And he's doing it in your life too. Right, Tim? Right. Yeah. Notice Tim has a new car out there. Did you see that green car? Father, I just pray, God. Lord, we want to do your will, O God. We want to be like Jesus was. He says, I come to do thy will, O God. He took away the first, the law, the keeping of the commandments. And we're not here to keep commandments. We're not here to keep what we think our religious duties are to do. Because you've given us of your Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth. And you said in Romans that through Paul, that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Not those who are keeping the law, but those who are being led. And so God, help us. God, continue to work in us. Don't let us stay the same. And I know you're working on us. I know you've changed us, Lord. I see difference in people. You've changed them. And you're working, I believe you're working on me too. And God, more and more I see that you really are long-suffering. But just like David said, help me to number my days. So I'm paying attention, Lord, to what I should be paying attention to and pressing towards that mark. Even in days it seems like there's no, it's just straightforward. No. We need you. We need you every hour. Every hour we need you. And the neat thing is, your desire is to walk with me and talk with me. Tell me I am your own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Lord, our first desire should be to abide with you, to be with you, to acknowledge you. And from there, we'll get the directions. From you, you'll lead us and guide us by that Spirit, your Spirit, into all the truth. And not only that, you'll give us the ability to do things that are really not us. As we read in Corinthians, Paul said, I'm nothing, and Apollos is nothing. We're nothing. But they were preaching and teaching the Spirit had given them. And so, Father, they were bringing forth fruit. And God, we want to bring forth fruit that brings you glory and honor and praise. Father, we ask this now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, something came to me as I was praying here. He brought this to me this morning. And just think about this during the week. Jesus said, every seed it bears after its kind. Amen? Every seed bears after its kind. So the closer you and I get to God, closer our walk with Him, then the seed that we sow, when it brings forth fruit in other people, it's going to be that level. So, and I don't know how to say this without, I don't want to just bring forth just weak things. I don't want to bring forth just nominal Christians. you know, and you don't either. We want to bring forth fruit that resembles Jesus Christ. And the only way that's going to be doing is if we give myself to God, amen, and let the Spirit of God fill me, amen. Who is Apollos? Who is Paul? Who is Cephas? They're nobody. But the Spirit of God in them. And he's telling them, there's envy, there's jealousy, there's all these, and I bet, and this is what came to me this morning, I bet you they didn't think there was any envy or jealousy or anything. But the one said, I'm of Cephas, you know, I like Peter's teaching, oh, I like this one, no, I like that one. But then Paul says, I can't speak unto you as spiritual, because you're yet carnal. So if they're carnal, if it's in their heart, then if he spoke spiritual, they couldn't receive it. They couldn't get it. It's a seed sown on hard ground. Amen? There's nothing wrong with what Paul was speaking. There's nothing wrong with what Apollos was speaking. Nothing wrong with what Cephas was speaking. It's the ground. Amen? And so we've got to allow that word we see with meekness, that engrafted word, and it'll break up the ground, man. It'll break us up. It'll tear out that junk out of there. It'll weed us from the roots down. Amen? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper. We believe in that. We believe in God, that his ability to do it. So we're going to rely on him to do it. Cleanse my heart. Get me clean. Keep cleaning me up. Amen? Keep at it. Keep at it. Keep at it. Because I want to bring forth good seed. Amen? Amen. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Amen? Thank you, Jesus.